Marilyn Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2, for Autumn Semester 2019. Lecture 27, delivered on December 3.
Today is review day one of two. The review this time is going to be overall, general, and giving you some ideas of where you should be focusing your studying. And then on Thursday, I will get more specific with what you should be knowing for the exam. But just a quick look at the markets, and this is the beginning of the review, what we're talking about right now. Clearly, we have a slaughterhouse going on. Because the president said, well, we might not have a trade deal. I might wait until after I'm reelected. And that sent the market all kinds of excited, worried, and all of that. I want you to recall, though, the importance of the terminology that we use for this. And that is where I will be focusing some of my questions. What does it mean to be long? What is a short sale? You also should know specifically what I've said about volume, on balance volume over the past few months. What has it been? How does this relate to investor sentiment? And how some term flight to quality, what does that mean about prices of bonds and stocks? You should know about current events, too, and just generally about things like that. I've brought up certain companies over the course of the semester. Go back through your notes and make sure that you know what I'm talking about when I talk about those kinds of Tesla, Netflix, companies like that. Are they risky or not? But generally speaking, make sure that you know what we mean by investment. A lot of I have students who come, well, I'm already investing. Well, I'm not really all that impressed by that, unless you can tell me that you really understand what you're doing, or if you're just, well, I eat. Well, that doesn't mean that you're a gourmet or anything like that. I eat too. But there's a responsibility that is involved in this kind of investment community. Over the past few months, again, let me quickly show you this. Even in a terribly exciting day when the market is freaking out, look at that volume compared to the average volume. We're almost at the midday now, and the volume isn't even one-sixth of what it normally is. Is that a good thing or a bad thing that the market is so much quieter than it usually is? And how does that relate to volatility? The prices, when prices are very volatile, make sure that you understand what volatility means. And is it really volatility in and of itself that we care about? This exam has 75 questions on it. If you want to get a very good grade, you are not going to attack it number one through number 75. I'll tell you right now, if you do that, you're going to hit the wall. I have three levels of points. There's level one. Those are very easy. You should be able to answer those without going to your notes. You get two note cards, by the way, front and back. That's what I just said. Yes. And you can type that on the computer you're not supposed to be using in this lecture. Yeah. Yes, you can. No, not those ginormous things. The 4x6s, yes. Or the 6x4s, yes. Get that knowledge of those basic terms down. You can make yourself flashcards. That would be cool. Make yourself flashcards and then play flashcard finance with your friends at, you know, your Pong party or whatever it is you do this weekend. Because those would help you a lot to know those terms so that you can just bam, bam, bam through those and get those down. Oh, by the way, while I'm thinking about it, there was on the answer key, there was one of them had the wrong answer marked. So I want to make sure that I fix that. So your score may be a little higher than what you saw before, see right now. Two of the questions got switched somehow before they were printed, and I had the answer that was supposed to be that one on the answer key. It wasn't, so I'll fix that this weekend probably, maybe a little earlier than that. Pardon?
This last quiz.
It was number 7. I mean, the last one, this order was supposed to have A as the correct answer, but somehow it randomized and it put that one as B, so everyone answered B and got it wrong. So I got to go back and fix that. I'm not sure how that happened, because looking at it, that doesn't even make sense, the order that was on your quiz. Anyway, so I'll fix that. But now, just kind of following up here. Sir, do you remember the first couple of days of this semester?
Somewhat.
I know that's very far in the past for you. Mm-hmm. It's even farther for me. Mm-hmm. But you remember that we talked about markets and where the market was right now. In general, for the last 7 years, what kind of a market have we had?
Good one.
Well, use the terminology. You're going to major in finance, right?
No.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
You want to pass my class, you say yes. When I do that. Okay. Well, let me not do that. Sir, what kind of a market? What is it? It's been a bull market for 7 years. 7 long years of just sustained upstroke in the market. That's actually a very good run. It's not unprecedented. There are some who say, never had a market like this. And it has spanned two different, very different administrations. So clearly this is a market that has been bullish. And do you remember in the early days of this, madam, do you remember those happy early days?
Yes.
You had a spokesman come in here, right? Do you remember that spokesman who came in here? You don't remember? No, not that bearded weirdo. I mean, yeah, there was a guy who came here.
I think that was Festival ICU, so I wasn't there.
Oh, you missed something. Okay, because there was, now, you remember that, right? Yeah, okay. And he told you what? What did he tell you?
I don't remember.
You don't remember what the bull said, sir, do you? He said that the bull market will not fail. It is going to go on and on forever. It will not ever quit. But then you remember what happened? What happened that day? What did the bear do? Yes, and did what to the bull? Yeah, ripped his head clear off. It was just horrible. It was the silliest thing that I had ever seen happen in my life. Nothing like that should happen in a classroom. The bull is right. There is not going to be a bear market ever in this, again. I don't think so anyway. The bull market lives forever. And I wouldn't worry about investing. You should invest all of your money. Never, ever believe a bear, because bears lie to you. Bears can't hurt bulls. Unlike what you saw, that was just pretend. Oh my God. Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well. No, that's not ever going to happen. There's never going to be... I'll put my bull skull back in later. Thank you. Moving on, know that terminology. Bull market, bear market, correction, bargain hunters. Remember those? Running out the shorts. All of those are part of this market that we have right now and always will have. If you know the terminology, you are much better able to discuss it with those who do know it, and they'll take you more seriously than if you just say, I'm with Robinhood or something like that. Also, there were other terms in there too. Like I said, flight to quality. You have, of course, the commodities markets. If I say metals, I am referring quite specifically to gold and silver. And when do you see metals? What is a stage one flight to quality? What's a stage two flight to quality? What happens to prices? What happens to prices under these flights to quality? Do prices of stocks go up, down? Bonds go up, bonds go down, gold go up, gold go down. Make sure you know the order of the price movements. Where the money leaves and what that does to the prices in that market, and where the money goes and what happens to the prices in those markets. Again, let me say that again. Where does the money leave in a stage one or a stage two? And where does it? What does that do to the prices in the market where the exit is happening? And where does the money go in a stage one or a stage two? And what does that do to the prices in those markets? In other words, you can look at the prices of the different types of markets and know what's going on. Is it a stage one, stage two, or is it just something muddled? How much does it take for you to be concerned about a market drop? Is it 5%, 1%, 0.5%? What are the real numbers that are involved there? Know that. Going on with terminology. Make sure you know different types of corporate structures. Sole proprietorship, limited partnership, partnership. Corporation, which ones can do what? In other words, can a sole proprietorship sell stock? Do the owners pay the tax on a corporation's profits? Things like that. What are the laws that govern selling something to raise money in the capital markets? In other words, there was the Securities Act of 1933, the Securities Exchange Act of 1934, and then I brought up some other acts of Congress too. Make sure you know those. I brought up Glass-Steagall was a very important one in the world we live in now, because we don't have it anymore, and as such, the crazies have taken over the asylum, because they said we can self-police, and it turns out they can't, and we were too cowardly in 2008 to crack down on them and send a lot of them to prison and the rest of them into bankruptcy. Make sure you know about agency. All the different types of agency costs are quite important. So you're going to need to know about that. And also about ethics. I gave you two broad theories of ethical conduct. One was from the categorical imperative, and one was from utilitarianism. Make sure you know who was associated with which and what their guidance would be in your actions. In other words, if you buy into the categorical imperative, how would you act? And if you instead would embrace utilitarianism, how would you act? What would you consider the ethical way to behave, to be? Back to investments, just make sure you know common stock, preferred stock, debt, the different types of debt. I mean, there's the one where you got bills, notes, bonds, all that. And then there's another approach that you can take too. For example, the difference between a mortgage bond and a debenture. And also, of course, obviously, and I've asked this over and over again, make sure you know your priority of claims on the cash flows of a corporation. Before I go any further, if my count is right, it's 22 to 25 of the questions are from exam one or one of the quizzes. Now, I might vary the wording or I might shuffle the order of the answers, but you will recognize them right away. And that's why you should just go through that exam and pick off all the easy questions you can.
Are you
going to
book that?
What? No, I'm not. I've already got it showing up on one of those crap sites and I've got my attorneys on it. I'm not putting up any exam. Yeah, I know. I will do that. If you want to come to my office, you can get it. That's all I can do. Because somehow someone kept an extra copy and it's perfect on one of those sites right now. It'll be gone in a few days, as will the student who put it up, because they'll give up that IP address really fast. There was one, I don't know if I told you, it was about 5 years ago. Someone was posing as me and charging a fee on GradeBuddy for my exams. He was taking PayPal under my name. Yeah, I don't recall how long, what the punishment was, but I'm sure he was there long enough to find a relationship in the prison. Anyway. Okay. Now, the quantitative questions, they are very straightforward quant questions. In other words, I'm not trying to throw any curveballs at you. You're going to have something about putting money into an account so that you have a certain amount left at the end. You're going to have one, price a bond, find the quote on a bond, find the yield to maturity on a bond, find an effective interest rate, find the payment on a car loan. I mean, they're the straight-up questions. I'm not throwing anything new or wild at you in this. Maybe find the price of a stock from the dividend using the dividend formula, that dividend growth formula. I don't think I have one where you have to do a horizon value and bring that one back. See, the problem is that if you get bogged down in those, you make a mistake somewhere along the way, you're just going to blow the whole question. And if I do more than one on the same information, you could end up blowing a whole chain of questions because you made a mistake on the first part. So I don't do that. I don't want to get you relaxed, but at the same time, you may want to hold those off until after you've gone through the word questions, the ones that are more terminology-based. Free cash flow. Make sure you know what NOPAT is. NOPAT, N-O-P-A-T, NOPAT. That's essentially, it's operating income minus your taxes. That's NOPAT. It's what we use in finance. That gets us aligned so that we can go back down beyond that to get to free cash flow. We don't put the interest in there. We don't subtract out the interest expense, because when we discount those free cash flows back, that's already included in the discount rate that we're using. It's the weighted average cost of capital already has the tax consequences of interest deduction already included. So NOPAT, I'm going to have something about NOPAT in there. There'll be no question about that. And then driving down from NOPAT, once you get NOPAT, you put in the pieces that get us down to free cash flow. I will give you a real, by the way, along the way, I'm going to give you a real corporation. It's current assets and its current liabilities for 2 years. And you're going to have to find the change in net working capital. It's the real numbers from a real company, and you have to find the change in net working capital, because remember, that's one of the parts that you, after NOPAT, you have to put in so that you can get to free cash flow. It's really simple, but boy, even I can screw up the... It's current assets minus current liabilities in this year minus current assets minus current liabilities in the previous year. And if you do it wrong, you'll get the wrong answer, and it will be there on the exam. If you get the wrong answer doing one of the usual things we do to make a mistake, it'll be there for you, and you'll think you got the right answer, but you won't have the right answer. Also, on Thursday, I will go through a couple of specific examples on the calculator for a few things. Like, for example, finding out how much interest you paid over the life of a loan, something like that, would definitely be. And I'll show you how to do the bond pricing and the yield to maturity on the calculator one last time so that you aren't confused by those. How to find a net present value, how to find an internal rate of return. Those I'll show you as well. Some of those are really easy. Some of them are a little more complicated. Like I said, there are a few level three questions on the exam. So make sure that you know how to do that. Also, finally, I've got a couple of things to cover with you here, and then I will give you a short quiz to take. But make sure that you understand some of the concepts that have gone on in this class over the background. For example, weighted average cost of capital. It's actually a very important concept. It drives our decision making, because once you've calculated your weighted average cost of capital, that's not the end of it. You need to make sure that you have your optimal capital structure. Remember that the optimal capital structure is the combination of debt and equity that minimizes the weighted average cost of capital. Once you have found that weighted average cost of capital that is the best, you have to maintain it. You can't just, well, we've got all this money that we made last year, let's use that to pay for our projects. You can't do that. If you do, you are going to unbalance your weighted average cost of capital. So let me give you an example. As a matter of fact, this class has been all about examples of financial concepts in the new world, in the real world. So, to start this off, this example, what kind of a company should I do? Oh, I'm going to do a farm company. A farmer who has identified his optimal capital structure as debt 25% and equity 75%. In other words, as long as his farm company stays 25% finance at a long term with debt, and 25% with debt, and 75% with equity, well, he's in business. He's fine. But if he were to deviate from that, he would no longer be okay. So bear with me one moment here. I'm going to put two people to the task of being the financiers for this farm operation. Let's see. Sir, you're going to be equity. He's an equity financer for farm operations. Madam, you're going to be a debt financer for farm operations. So let me give you a dollar and you a dollar. You can finance anything up to a dollar. Either of you could. And this farmer is going to need to finance something. He's going to need to finance, in fact, he is considering purchasing new livestock. Actually, not livestock, animals for his farm. And what he needs is $1 of infusion of capital in order to do this. He's going to need to have, well, I wish I had a better marker than the one I have because this is kind of hard to see, but he needs capital infusion of $1. Now, each of these people could do it. Now, in order to make this a little bit more real, I'm going to give a demonstration. I have a few people I've asked to join me with this. Now, the farmer needs a dollar. Can you give him a dollar? The beard really weirds me. Can you give him a dollar?
Yeah.
Can you give him a dollar?
I could.
But why won't you?
Because I'm debt.
And how much do you? How much will you finance from the debt?
Just a quarter.
How much?
A quarter.
You're the debt? Yes.
Debt.
So you have to. I get the quarter.
You're a horse.
Of course I am. My God, you said. Okay, now. And you will finance?
Three quarters.
Two? Those two horses. Give them to the farmer and he'll give them to the horses. Now, what has happened here is exactly what happens in a corporation. They cannot finance from a single source. They always have to go to the capital markets in exactly the same proportion as they have. I'm blacking out. No, seriously, noobs. If they did it any other way, the farmer's optimal capital structure would be blown and he would pay more than the minimum of the weighted average cost of capital for that capital. So the final issue here, the final point being made here is that the carbon dioxide is really, really giving me a rush. Is that when you are financing in a corporate environment, it is always going to be necessary that there is easy access to both equity and debt markets. Because otherwise, you will have corporations that are paying more, in some cases far more, for their capital than they could if they were following their optimal capital structure. Now, there's only one question left in this whole presentation I've done. Why was it that they got 75 cents, those two horsies, and I got only 25 cents? Do you know why that was? Sir, do you know why? Because I am a quarter horse. Thank you. Let's have a quiz now.